Today we're going to turn to the book of 2 Kings, beginning at verse 19. And I'm not going to read the entire part of 18 because the main message is coming from chapter 19 of 1 Kings. So, but needless to say, without 18, 19 would have happened. So thus the reason for me to get to that point. Verse 19. The Assyrian king's personal representative sent this message to King Hezekiah. This is what the great king of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you so confident? Do you think that your mere words can substitute for military skill and strength? Which of your allies will give you military backing against Assyria? Will Egypt? If you lean on Egypt, you will find it to be a stick that breaks beneath your weight and pierces your hand. The Pharaoh of Egypt is completely unreliable. Perhaps you will say, we are trusting in the Lord, our God. If you're going through some difficulty today, if there's some kind of problem in your life, if somebody's trying to cause you to be threatened, as this Assyrian king was doing, sometimes the very things in our life seem like a threat sometimes, don't they? And sometimes they come through people. Sometimes they come through circumstances. Sometimes they even come through ourselves in our own mind, do they not? Things that scare us, the things that frighten us. And sometimes we think, well, what good would it be? How can I possibly solve this? How can I do it? How can I get through this? How can I? What do you mean I can't? Oh, the pastor has to speak up from the front row. Okay. Or the enemy says to us, perhaps you're going to say, I trust in God. You notice how this is a sarcastic remark that this Assyrian king is saying? Sometimes when Satan speaks to us in our mind, it's the only place he can try to put those suggestions in, those deceptions in, those lies in, those places within us sometimes that are subject to doubt and fear. And in saying to us, are you sure you can trust in your God? Are you sure about that? What does the church say? I am sure, I am positive, I am confident in my God, right? All right, most of you said that, that's good. Oh, excellent, okay. Perhaps you will say we're trusting in the Lord our God, but isn't he the one who's insulted by King Hezekiah? Didn't Hezekiah tear down his shrines and altars and make everyone in Judah worship only at the altar here in Jerusalem? Well, yeah, King Hezekiah tore down those other altars. They had nothing to do with God, did they? They were pagan shrines. They were deceptive shrines. The place that God wanted people to worship was inside of the temple in Jerusalem. So guess what King Hezekiah did? He did what God asked him to do, right? Worship in a holy place where the river of healing flows, as we heard last week, right? The river of life is there in that holy temple. I'll tell you what. My master, the king of Assyria, will strike a bargain with you. Don't you love it when Satan tries to strike a bargain with us? I'll let you off the hook if you follow me. I'll give you these kingdoms all over everything. I'll solve all your problems if you just bow down and worship me. But Jesus said, as we know in his temptation, love only the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. I don't need your kingdoms. I created these kingdoms. I'm paraphrasing Jesus right there. With your tiny army, how can you think of challenging? How can you think of a little church like this one with a little bit of amount of people that we would challenge those big problems in our life, those big things that come against us, those kind of things that scare us, those things that try to terrify us? A little army of a little church, what good can we do, right? You see how sometimes Satan tries to minimize your power, your faith, and what our God can do through you and me and us? The little church of mighty works is who we ultimately are. Anyway, with your little tiny army, how can you think of challenging the weakest contingent of my master's troops, even with the help of Egypt's chariots and horsemen? Do we need anybody's horsemen, chariots, or any other kind of anything in our lives? No. What do we have? Our God. Our God. That's enough. I'm going to jump down to verse 31, and there's more lies that Satan tries to throw here, because this is who's speaking through these people. Don't listen to Hezekiah. Don't listen to the pastors in your church. Don't listen to the scriptures. Don't listen to Jesus. Don't listen. If you do, you might have faith and your problems might disappear. You know, Satan wants us to be bound up, held back, and to feel as though we have no hope, right? So don't listen to words of hope. Don't listen. Don't pay attention to what the scriptures say. You see how foolish this man is speaking here? Do you listen to the voices of doubt sometimes, though, if we're honest? Do you think about the fact that maybe you don't see yourself as good enough, powerful enough, smart enough, whatever enough is? That's a voice you don't want to listen to. You see the difference? You see how Satan twists everything opposite? You don't notice that? Pay attention to the words that sometimes come into your head, the things that people sometimes say to you to cause you to fear or worry or doubt. Don't listen to those voices. Next verse, down a little bit farther. Don't listen to Hezekiah when he tries to mislead you by saying, "The Lord will rescue us." Listen, every time that you have something going on in your life that God needs to help you with, and somebody says to you, "The Lord is going to take care of you. The Lord will rescue you." How many times do you all say, "I know it. I'm positive of that." Every single time, right? You have to tell the truth. We're in church today. 70-30, I got 30-70 over here. I have to have a little pastoral meeting apparently later. 70 plus. Okay, good. Can anybody here get to 100%, please? How about 80-20? Oh, thank you for being honest. I appreciate that. Okay. Isn't it in our humanness, though, to be, if we are honest, all of us, every last one of us, including me, I have to admit, some days I'm at 50-50, 40-30, I don't know the numbers. All I know is this. Depending on what the situation might be, many of us can get afraid, can't we? That's part of being human, isn't it? But we don't listen to the lie that Satan tries to tell us that God can't or won't rescue us. We still have to stand on the truth. The truth is God will rescue us, right? When? Don't know. When God finds it necessary. When God uses the right appropriate ways for that to happen for the best of all concerned. He goes down to verse 35 and he says, "What God of any nation," notice it's a small g, by the way, "what God," see, small g God can't do anything. Small g God like me, God and me, you know, me, myself, and I, God, that God can do nothing. Small g God does nothing. All the gods that were out there all the time that the Assyrians worshiped, that God could do nothing. Ezekiel proved that, right? But needless to say, "What God of any nation has ever been able to save the people from my power?" Listen to how Satan talks. What God has ever saved a nation? What God has ever saved the world? What God? Big G God. Big G God. With a J as in Jesus. That God saved us all when he died on that cross and rose again. That's our God, right? And that God has more power to do anything and everything in all of our lives. Do you believe that today? All right, beautiful. We're getting there. So what no God, small g, can do, our big G God can do it and take care of it right now for each and every one of us. The people were silent and did not answer because Hezekiah told them not to speak. See, don't argue with the devil. You're wasting your breath. Don't even bother giving him the time of day. Just say, "Get out of here. Get behind me, you liar. I'm going to my big G God." That's what I'm doing. So then they went back to Hezekiah. They tore their clothes in despair. See, this scared them, though, right? The Assyrian army, by the way, was from Nineveh. And they were just going through and barreling down all kinds of countries and grabbing their land and things of this nature. So this was a scary army, these Assyrians, just so you know. So there's good reason for them to be in despair, right? Sometimes big problems come our way, don't they? and they seem insurmountable, I'll say. Overwhelming, right? And we can tear our hair out sometimes in despair because reality sometimes strikes us, does it not? Of course. And here's what they did next. They went to see the king and told him what the Assyrian representative had said. So they went to the king, Hezekiah. And here's what happens next. Chapter 19. Story gets better. When King Hezekiah heard the report, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and went into the temple. Sackcloth. I'm in mourning. I'm afraid. I'm going to repent. If there's something I've done that's causing some of the things that are going on, I'm going to release that to God and ask God to help me. That's the sackcloth part of that. And he was also pre-mourning, thinking perhaps maybe that they could be defeated. But he does the most important thing that any one of us can ever do in any given moment in our entire lives. When fear comes upon us, when problems come upon us, when we have a huge problem that seems insurmountable and unattainable and something that we cannot solve. How many problems can you solve? Some. You know, you can make a cup of coffee. Take out the trash, pay some bills. But world problems, big problems, scary problems, how many of those can we solve by ourselves? Zero, none, exactly. He went into the temple of the Lord. Oh, I didn't say the rest of the sentence. He went in to listen. When you have a problem, where do you go? To the temple of God, where the river of healing is. When Jesus was in the temple one time, he was healing the blind, the lame, the sick, and while he was serving in there, he was bringing them new life while he was in there. And he said, my house will be called a house of prayer. So guess what Hezekiah did? He went into the temple of the Lord to pray. To pray. The greatest thing that anything or any one of us could ever do at any given time, when big insurmountable problems come, when fear comes our way, when Satan tries to scare us, when Satan tries to lie us, when things seem to be threatening us, when a problem looms over our head, what do? We pray. We go into the temple of God and we pray. Verse 3, they told him, this is what the king Hezekiah says. This is a day of trouble, insult, and disgrace. It was a bad day they were having. You ever had one of those bad days? Or a series of those bad days? Or a year full of those bad years? Or 20? Oh, sorry. Okay. So they go back and they send a message back. I'm not going to keep reading there because I want to get to the main message of the sermon. How about that idea? But needless to say, they go back and they tell the Assyrian king, we're not worried about you. Our God's going to save us. You ever tell your problems that? I'm not worried. God's going to save us. And then the Assyrian king, he sends a letter back to King Hezekiah. So first he tells his messengers to scare them. Then they tell King Hezekiah. And then King Hezekiah sends back a message saying, we're not scared of you. And then they send a letter. Even scarier, now it's in writing. And right here, verse 10, it says, this message is for King Hezekiah. Don't let this God you trust deceive you with promises. What? That Jerusalem will not be captured. You know perfectly well what the kings of Assyria have done wherever they have gone. They have crushed everyone who stood in their way. Why should you be any different? What makes us different? What made King Hezekiah different? What makes you different? Our God. Big G God. I can't make it into a G, but I'm trying. Verse 14. After Hezekiah received the letter and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. He took that letter with all these threats, saying, what makes you think your God can rescue you? What makes you think that God will help you? What makes you think that you're going to survive this onslaught? He took that letter in his hands, and then he put it and he spread it out to the Lord. Put it right there in between the Ark of the Covenant. You remember the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat on it? He put it right there in the center where God dwelled in that temple. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. Lord God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim, right? The Ark of the Covenant, the cherubim's there with the mercy seat in the center. Just like this altar that's right here with the cross on top of it. That is the place where we physically see that we symbolize where God is. We also look at the cross behind us where Jesus rose from the dead but gave us all salvation. He saved us on that cross, that wooden piece of thing that we look at. That's where new life came for all of us. That's where we were saved. And he says this, you alone are God of all the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Listen to me, Lord. Perk up your ears, God. Ever talk to God that way? Well, God, please, if you're up there, listen. He hears our cry even before we speak our words, the scriptures tell us in Isaiah, but needless to say. Listen to me, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see. Listen to these words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations, just as the message says. They've thrown the gods of these nations, small g gods, into the fire and burned them. Idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. See, us humans, we can do what? Zero, nothing. I can't fix anything, can I? Can we admit that today? I cannot do it. I can't save you. I can help you by bringing you to God through prayer. But we can't save ourselves, can we? And no other thing can. We're just humans after all. They were not gods at all. Now, Lord, you, our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone are God. What Hezekiah is praying, he's saying, I know you alone can fix it. And essentially, Jeremiah 17:14 says exactly the same thing. When Jeremiah was praying for the Israelite people, when all these calamities possibly would come against them. And Jeremiah said, as he prayed, you alone can help us. And you know what God said? Is anything too hard for me? To Jeremiah. Is anything too hard for our God? Is anything impossible with our God? Is anything unsavable with our God? Is anything going to harm us through our God? Is Satan going to win over us? You trust in our God, right? 100% of the time. Let me go back again. And my ears are a little off because it sounded louder over here. We're going to trust our God to rescue us every single time, right? Yes. All right, absolutely, 100%. And if not, we're going to pray for more trust. We're going to pray for more faith. We're going to ask God to take away our fears. We're going to pray about that. So if you're not just afraid of the things that are written down to you and that scare you, or the things in your life that are frightening you even right now, whatever it might be for you, I have no idea what's going on in your life. I just know some of you got some stuff going on, right? Some people got some stuff. I'm going to just generalize it into stuff. And you know specifically what it is. And sometimes we're overstuffed, right? And not just overeating wise. a lot of things that we think we can fix ourselves or solve ourselves, or why would we bother God? God's too busy. Why would we talk to a pastor? After all, they got sermons to preach and take hours on end to put it together. Why would I bother them? And there's so many other people so much more important than me. That's a lie from the devil. God always has time for you. And in our power, we pastors make time for you, however that is. You're all worthy of help, all of you. And you don't need to ignore. See, listen, God alone can solve your problems, right? So you have to go to God alone, don't you, though? And you can also ask for others around you. You can say, oh, I just received this report from my doctor. What should I do about it? We say to you, spread it out. Spread it out before the Lord. Pray about it. Put it in God's hands. We'll pray with you and for you. And when you don't have 100% trust, we got at least four pastors in this place. So let's see. I'm not good at math. 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. Gives you 100. Not bad. And for sometimes when we have more trust than you have in larger amounts as people inside this congregation that will trust God with you and help you realize when Satan's lying to you, you got to know the truth. The truth is what truly sets you free from doubt and fear. The truth is what's in the Word. Our God will save us. He'll help us and he'll give you victory. Do you believe that today? The God that rose from the dead is our God, big G, capital J, right? There's nothing our God can't do for you. All you have to do is what? Ask. Thank you. Take it to him. Spread it out on the altar. Spread it out all on the floor. Spread it out through prayer. Don't tell your problems to everybody else around you, unless they're going to pray for you. Because be careful who you tell your problems to. I can attest to the fact that I asked somebody for prayer one time because my wife's son has a mental illness and was drug addicted, and they had the nerve to say that I didn't belong in the pulpit because of his illness. Be careful who you bring your prayers to. I'm just warning you because Satan's out there amongst us sometimes. But you can always be safe here with us. Yes? And we can be safe with you, can't we? When you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, right? And we're not going to ask you to solve our problems. We're going to ask you to pray for our problems to be solved, right? Verse 20. Isaiah. Remember Isaiah? Isaiah? Anybody hear the name before? Isaiah, the prophet. He was a contemporary with Hezekiah. He was his helper, spiritually speaking. Isaiah sent this message to Hezekiah after Hezekiah prayed. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I've heard your prayer. And this is the message that the Lord has spoken against him. And it's a big, long thing. The really bad thing's going to happen to this Assyrian king. I'm not even going to say it today. But I tell you, our God got them good. You can't come against God's people and not have God's justice. So from this point forward, instead of you going through your life saying, I got this, I can handle this, I got it, I want you to transfer it to something one of our pastors said a long time ago to me. God's got this. God's got this. That's who has to gut this. So what we see here in these scriptures, very plainly, a problem came. The people, Hezekiah and his people, they went to God, correct? When you have a problem, you go to the temple of God. You have godly people to pray with you and for you, right? You come to the altar of God. You bow before God. You get on your knees before God. However you do that, you sit in your chair and you pray while we're asking you to pray even today. And you spread it all out. Don't leave anything behind. Do not take anything with you today as an example that you could be praying about. Don't take that on your mind out of here today. You can leave it in the temple today. And when the river of healing comes through, it's going to wash that problem away. You believe that today?
Yeah.
You trust the Lord today?
Yeah.
100% today?
Yeah.
Beautiful. We're in a bright place today.
Yeah.
We're not going to have what we know as a prayer time. Because this is important. If you or somebody you know is going through something difficult, if there's something that's on your mind or people on your mind that need God and need an answer and need a solution to something they've been trying or you've been trying to help them solve or they can't solve it on their own, your problem will be solved. I can promise you that. Do you believe that today?
Yeah.
Is the enemy going to try to deceive you and tell you I'm full of it?
Always.
Yes, but you're going to call Satan what he is, a liar. And the truth will stand. Your problem will be solved. When?
Whenever.
When God works it all. I can't, I don't know when Isaiah is going to show up and give you the answer. But I do know this. We don't need to hold on to any of our stuff anymore, do we? We don't need to be hanging on in our brains and our minds and in our hearts some days, the things that are troubling us. There's a lot of things that are going on in our world. Am I right?
Yeah.
So many things that are overwhelming and seem insurmountable. Evil is rearing its ugly head again and continues to do so and will continue to do so until Christ comes again. But we, the people that are gathered here, we believe in God, capital G, capital J, right?
Yeah.
God is bigger than all of that and anyone who's trying to come against anyone in this world. And we're going to pray about that too, are we not? We're going to spread it out before the Lord. I wish I had, we had a wedding here the other night. We rolled out, you know, you roll out the carpet. I wish I had something I could roll out and you could write all your prayers on it. But I'd probably have to go out into the parking lot, down the street, across over. By the time we get to Walmart, that's where all the prayers would be. So I'm not going to use that paper after all. But what I am going to do is this. I'm going to ask you this morning, seriously, all the stuff that's plaguing your heart and your mind, or that of others. Empty it out. All of it. Everything must go this morning. All the junk that you've held in your head sometimes, even against yourself, the lies that Satan's trying to tell you, the things that you sometimes believe that are negative, let that all go and ask God to renew your mind, to give you the mind of Christ. That in and of itself is a problem solved, is it not? And bring it to the altar. You can physically do that if you like. If you want to bring your checkbook up here and you got problems with finances, put it up there. We're not going to take it from you, I promise. But what I am saying, sometimes we have to put everything out before the Lord, right? You can do it symbolically in your mind, whatever that is. I'm just trying to help you understand that sometimes things bother us, right? Plague us, worry us. Sometimes, do they not? We got to empty it out and spread it out before God. So bring your fears, bring your worries about your future, your worries about how long this sermon's going to take, the worry about whether or not you have enough faith, all your cares about, all your concerns, your wants, your needs, your regrets. I don't know, I got a whole list here. This is my list, sorry. Your should-haves and your could-haves and your would-haves and your shouldn't-haves and your shouldn't-haves and your should whatever that is. Potential problems that you don't have yet that you're worried will happen in the future when you get as old as some of us. And how about you spread out your need to control? The I can. And perhaps your need to fix others or yourself. The need to figure it out for yourself. The need to not ask God. Today's the day, really. Today's the day. As this song is being sung, we'll have a time for each and every one of you. This is so important for your heart, mind, and soul today. That you truly bring all of whatever I mentioned and all those other things that you have inside of your mind that are problems for you. That you think and believe or don't know that whether or not they could ever be solved. Today is the day that you trust in the Lord and you spread everything out before God. And for those of you that are watching, I would definitely ask you to take a time of prayer. If you want to write all the stuff down that you want to let go and give it to God, do so. And for those of you that are here today, we're going to take time. You're going to lay all your problems down today. Spread them all out. And I promise you this, you will have victory. You will have victory. If nothing else, the fact that you let it go in and of itself is a victory. Because I know just how stubborn some of you can be. Today, that can go too. You trying to be in control and being brave and being strong. Today's the day to be weak. Because in our weakness, we get God's strength, don't we? So let it all go today. And you're going to see a victory. I promise you that. You believe that this morning?
Yes.
You trust the word of God this morning?
Yes.
You trust God to solve every problem you have ever had or ever will have?
Yes.
You trust him 100%?
Yes.
Amen.